scripture reading is Luke chapter 1, verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And let's now turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message this Christmas Eve service. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here tonight in remembrance and in celebration of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Lord, to bring the light of your salvation to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide them to God's peace. We pray, Lord, now that your Holy Spirit would work upon your Word and teach us more clearly this way of peace, which you, incarnate Son of God, have come to bring to your people. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This Christmas Eve evening, we'll be taking a look at the final verse of the prophecy made by Zechariah when his son, John the Baptist, was born. And here in the closing verse of this prophecy, Zechariah summarizes the mission statement of the Son of God, who would soon be coming into the world. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We're told in Zechariah's prophecy that the incarnation of Jesus was God's tender mercy towards people lost in sin. This is what we read in context of our verse for today in Luke 1, 76-78. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His way, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. The incarnation of Jesus was God's tender mercy to the miserable. And that's what it means to be lost in sin, is to live a life of misery. It is to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, as our verse puts it. And Jesus came into the world to bring relief to sinners in misery. He came into the world to bring relief to sinners in misery by giving them the light of His salvation. And what does the light of His salvation do for these miserable sinners? We read in our verse, He gives them the light of His salvation in order to guide them to peace, to guide our feet into the way of peace, in order to guide them to true peace they have never known and cannot know apart from His saving work. So, if we are in Christ, this mission statement for Jesus' incarnation reminds us of the peace that we have been granted through Him, which we would have otherwise never known. The first, we're told in our text that Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness. Well, before His light came to us in the gospel, we all sat in darkness. We were blind, in other words. We were blind to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. We were alienated from God in our sin. We were ignorant of the only eternal hope found in God's saving grace fulfilled through His Son. So our purpose in life consisted of nothing higher than merely gratifying the various earthly passions which enslaved us. We were ignorant of God. We were ignorant of His glory. We were alienated, separated from Him. We were ignorant of the hope of His saving grace. So we had no higher purpose in life. We had no higher purpose other than gratifying the earthly passions which enslaved us. As Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 puts it, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We had actually looked at that verse a short time ago, a couple Sundays ago, I think. It might have been two Sundays ago. So this will be sort of a review or recap for some of us. But there we read in Ephesians 2:3 that our whole course of life was controlled, governed by the passions of our flesh, carried out in the desires of the body and the mind. So the passions of the flesh were carried out in two ways, the desires of the body and the desires of the mind. Well, first, let's consider desires of the body. The passions of our flesh were carried out in the desires of the body, you see, because there was nothing more important to us than gratifying the desires of the body. To live for earthly pleasures, whatever they may be. Food, drink, ease and comforts, personal entertainment, personal interests, the gratification that comes through what was offered to us in this present life. Our whole course of life was governed by the passions of our flesh, carried out in the desires of the body. Our whole course of life was governed by the passions of our flesh, carried out in the desires of the mind. We are dominated by the desires of the mind. Ambition for status, respect. Our desire to be well regarded and liked in our particular social circles, so we conform to the values and the standards of those people around us rather than conforming to truth and what is right. Our constant impulse to one up the people around us, driven along in life by a proud, competitive mindset and our incessant yearning for the attention of others, and on and on and on. See, that describes the life in darkness. That's what we live for. We're not governed by the light of truth, by the light of righteousness. We were governed, or should I say, enthralled, controlled by the passions of the flesh. The desires of the body, but not only the desires of the body, but also the desires of the mind. And this was because we were in darkness. We were blind to the glory of God. That was the highest thing that we lived for, the passions of our flesh. And you know, that's a miserable life. If that's the way we live life, if that's the sum of our purpose in life, to carry out the passions of our flesh, do the desires of the body, the desires of the mind, that's a miserable life. It's a life full of strife, malcontent, insatiable desire, disappointment, bitterness. Kind of life is described for us in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. Doesn't that sound like our world? Live in darkness, live for the passions of the flesh. It was a life of perpetual petty and personal wrangling, quarrels, disputes. James chapter 4, verse 1 describes it well. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? It was a self-centered life, a self-glorifying life, a life controlled by the drives and passions of this short earthly existence, clashing with the lives of others governed by those very same drives and passions. It was a pitiful life, a miserable life, a life of constant strife, a life of constant discontent, a life without peace, in other words, a life sitting in darkness. Secondly, we're told in our text that Jesus came to give light to those who sit in the shadow of death. He came to give light to those who sit in darkness and to those who sit in the shadow of death. Now that's terrible. That's misery, to sit in the shadow of death. Yet this is the kind of life that is lived by all who are of this world. They all live in the shadow of death. What does that mean? It means that they're living a life that is perpetually darkened by the prospect of death. The limits to the pleasure, the happiness, the excitement. And what is that? What causes that limit? The shadow of death. There's always that prospect of death that spoils everything. See, this is a life that lacks eternal security that lacks assurance. Assurance about what comes after the grave. And is therefore perpetually troubled by the prospect of death. The longer a person lives, the more they realize the fragile, the tenuous nature of life. Isn't that true? When we were very young and in impeccable health, didn't think much about death, but the older we become, the more fragile we become, well, the prospect of death becomes more and more haunting. An accident, a slip, sudden illness, a moment of carelessness, a moment of neglect, the irresistible deterioration of old age, and all of a sudden, with hardly any notice, a person dies, and his or her soul is hurtled into eternity. So they grow more and more anxious about dying, more and more on edge, more and more wary of this terrible monstrosity, death. When we're little children, every little bump in the night, I speak for myself, was a ghost or a goblin. When we're older, those ghosts and goblins that used to trouble us have now become the very real specter of death. See, a person who sits in the shadow of death is a person who's without peace. They know that life is brittle, that death may come at any moment. And on the other side of death is the judgment of the living, holy God. I read in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." See, that's misery. To sit in darkness, to sit in the shadow of death, and left to ourselves, that describes us. But again, in Zechariah's prophecy, we read that God, in His tender mercy, sent His Son Jesus to give us the light of His salvation and bring us out of that kind of life and guide our feet into the way of peace. What then is this light of salvation that Jesus brings to God's people in order to guide them into the way of true peace? Well, we're told the answer earlier in Zechariah's prophecy when he prophesied the role that his son John the Baptist would fulfill in relation to the coming Lord Jesus. Luke 1:76-77, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins." John the Baptist was appointed to give the knowledge of salvation in order to prepare God's people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see in verse 77, this knowledge of salvation is fundamentally about the way in which God would bring about the forgiveness of His people's sins. See, the reason why all people by nature live life in darkness and in the shadow of death is because of their sin. And it's because of our sin that we are separated and alienated from God. Because of our sin that we're cut off from the spiritual knowledge of His glory. It's because of our sin that we're under His just wrath. And it's because of sin that people live life, as Ephesians 2:12 puts it, having no hope and without God in the world. So, they live futile lives, sitting in darkness, giving themselves to the temporal passions of their flesh, all the while gripped by the shadow of death, misery. But the good news of Christmas is that God sent His Son into the world to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf and offer up His life in our place to pay in full the penalty for our sins and thus reconcile us to God. He did this so that all who repent of their life in darkness and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord, may be cleansed of sin's guilt, be freed from Satan's dominion, domination, be consecrated to God as a people of His own possession, live in the assuring presence and sanctifying power of His Holy Spirit, and be brought under His sovereign protection forever and ever. Therefore, the most important question then, of course, and we must always ask this question when we consider the gospel, is have we turned to Christ Jesus and received Him as our Lord, who has saved us from our sins in order to save us for Himself? Have we been freed from the misery of a life in darkness and in the shadow of death through faith in our Lord who became flesh for our salvation? Has the light of salvation in Christ Jesus shined into our lives, delivering us from the misery of a life sitting in darkness, sitting in the shadow of death, and guiding our feet into the way of peace? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of Christmas. And until we enjoy peace with God through the salvation that Christ came into the world to bring, our celebration of Christmas is essentially pointless. But if we possess this peace, if the light of God's salvation in Christ has shone into our lives, freeing us from a life lived in darkness and in the shadow of death, then we possess an indescribable, invaluable gift. And then we can genuinely worship God and declare, along with the heavenly host which appeared to the shepherds that night when Christ was born, Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Do we have that peace with God? That is why Christ came. That is why the Word became flesh. That is why we celebrate Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to bring the light of Your salvation so that those who live in misery, abject misery, sitting in darkness, having no higher purpose in life than the passions of the flesh, the desires of the body and the mind, and all the strife and bitterness and malcontent that comes with it, those who sit in the shadow of death, no answer for death, deeply afraid, anxious, controlled by that fear. That's misery. You came to bring light to those who live in that misery because of Your tender mercy. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to shine the light of Your salvation and to guide those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide them into the way of peace, peace with God. We pray, Lord, that we would all know that peace, that we would all know what it means to be reconciled to You through faith in Jesus Christ, to know spiritually Your glory, to be brought under Your sovereign, redeeming protection, and care to become a temple of your Holy Spirit and to be empowered by that supernatural power of your Spirit to live in godliness and holiness, that we may be freed from the shadow, from a life lived in the shadow of death, because we now possess eternal life and we know exactly what happens when we pass on from this world. Instant paradise with you. Lord, we pray that all may know this, that all may be delivered, that all may be saved, that all may know peace with you through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.